Good evening. I have a couple things to take care of first. Brother Norman went to Mexico. How long ago? A year? When did you go to Mexico?
Last summer.
Every 6 months, the preachers from the churches, some 20-some churches, have a weekend conference, and 50, 60, sometimes 70 of these preachers show up for this conference, and Brother Norman made one of them here 6-8 months ago, and they're still talking about him. Just before he came up, he was mentioned in the sharing that a brother did in our meeting in Pachuca, that someone with that much zeal and that much energy, that old, and he made quite an impression, brother. They're encouraged to see that someone can love the Lord and serve the Lord and in your condition. And we just I just wanted you to know that. You got to keep you humble. And the other thing I need to take care of is Marco and Kelly couldn't be here, and they wanted to send their thank you, and they appreciate the church. There's many here that are helping and supporting them. Marco's picked up the big burden there in Pachuca, and I'll explain one part of that. But another brother that was there, his mother died, and his situation has got him pulled away, and Marco's carrying most of the load in as pastor. He has a pastor's heart. The man is impressive. He just loves the people. He's 24/7. He's at their beck and call. I literally have taken upon myself to watch out for him. I said, you got to get away. You got to go and pull him off for a couple of days. You need to spend time with your family. You need to go and just disappear for a couple of days, because he just goes until he's hindering other things, in fact. And so you pray for them. He's doing a real work, and he's got a heart for the Lord. And the church is encouraged. It's got men that are preaching and wanting to take part. And it's been an exciting last year has really been exciting. We just praise the Lord for it. And but you pray for Marco, especially, that he be wise in his service. We don't want to see him get hurt from exhaustion, and that's his main problem at this moment. He's right now battling some illness. He's, I don't know what it is. He's taking B12 shots or something. The kid's got strep throat and things, but he's still out preaching until he just can't go. And you pray for him. They're a wonderful couple. I just happen to know one of them real well. One thing about this church is we can be brutally honest. And so a couple of things that I want to share with you tonight. That, first of all, as you know, Susan started a business several years ago, and she just kept pushing it until it turned into something, and we hired managers, and for 8 or 9 years we've been pretty well free to concentrate on the work and things. But this last year the economy has really took a downturn, and there's not enough margin there to let a hired manager do all the decisions, and I've had to get back into it this last year. And I'd ask you to pray that the Lord would take this thing away from us, it would be, or put it to where we can go back to where we were. We like the deal. It allowed us to do a lot, and now it seems to be hindering. And so I just pray that you pray for us with it. If I could direct your prayers, I would like a box of money and a fishing pole out of it. But and if that comes through, then you pray that Susan gets over disdain for money and we can keep some. But that has been a burden to us, and I'm confused. I don't know which way to go with it. I just had to be there more than I want, and it is now hindering the work rather than being an asset, as it's been for some time. Then the second thing is that the message that I have tonight, I really need to give a claimer on it. That's the opposite of a disclaimer. Something the Lord's been working in my life, and I've been resisting it. I've got my excuses and things, and as we get into the message, maybe you'll see the thing. If you're tonight and you're at the peak of your spiritual walk with the Lord, and you and it's never been better. This will pass over you. It won't get you. But if you're like some of, like me and maybe some others that would be honest, there's some low times in the Christian life. There's some times when you're not at that peak. And the scriptures of here that we're going to do is give me a few questions. And I'd just like to put them out to you and see if those questions don't touch you. And so, if you would, turn to Haggai, chapter 2 and verse 3. Haggai, chapter 2 and verse 3. And this one verse has three questions. The first one we'll deal with is, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? Who among you have seen this house in her first glory? You know, it gives an opportunity here now to reminisce a little. And I use the word house very liberally in this message. But first thing is this church. This has had a glorious, glorious run. Back when, I don't know how many years ago, Brother Lindell said it was 22 people and 22 nights, 7 families, I don't know just all the numbers, but gathered together and prayed at 319 North Valley for 22 nights straight, that the Lord would raise up a work according to His will. Willing to put aside all of the conventional human wisdom. Willing to take the Word of God at its place and say, God, raise up a church as you desire. Without all the customs, without all the denominationalism, without religion. And they had some principles, and you know them probably well and better than I, but we have the Word of God in our hand. We don't need to look for some other explanation. The Bible will explain itself, and that Bible is the King James Bible. And we stood on that. Well, if you have an authority, you can be taught. And from there, the teachings came out. And as the church began, they went over here on Ingram Road and bought this house. And they saw the working of the Lord as they were about to put Brother Lindell in jail and all the things that went on. God's working in all this. Man, the excitement that this town had over this little group of people. That's all God's working. It's a glorious thing. That 20, 30 people can cause such an uproar because they want to do it God's way. I don't know how many were there, but I've actually met up in the little block building. Susan and I have had an argument. We don't know the night that we were there if Eddie was coming home from Germany or Donna was going to go to Germany. I don't know which way it was. But she remembers everything that Donna wore and Cindy wore, and she remembers Billy's cowboy hat and his boots. But then this corner came available. Lord provided a place in the building. And then, of course, when it really started, was the first mission conference. In the mind of most people was, let's see what missions are about and see if we'll start taking up an offering for missionaries. And God had another plan. He says, the offering you're going to give you are your children. What a glorious thing. My, we've seen God work in ways that who would have imagined? Now, even Brother Lindell was going to pack up and leave. Brent beat him to it, and he had to stay. Everybody wanted to go preach the gospel. And so if you couldn't go, you started preaching here. You started winning souls. Built that first little building. I don't know how many ever met in that little building, but it got to where you couldn't get in the door. And that's why we moved over and built this thing. That's glorious. Remember the Thanksgiving meetings? All us missionaries that come back, we play games and we play basketball and we eat and eat, and then gather around and praise the Lord. Amen. One night it was 1 or 2 in the morning before Brother Lindell says, I've got to go home. I can't take no more. 1, 2 in the morning, singing songs and praising the Lord and testifying that God is great and glorious. This is a glorious thing to remember. The missionaries went to Mexico and God poured out a blessing. There was a couple, 3 hard years when we were being prepared, when we were being humbled, and God said, now I'll give you fruit. Hard to find in this last 30 years another place that had that much outpouring of God's Spirit. I haven't counted, I don't know if we even could, but there's probably over 100 preachers preaching in the streets weekly in Mexico. You know that León has a week-long conference, preaching conference, when they bring in the missionaries that they've sent out and any other preachers of the whole of that want to, and the whole church, men, women, and children, go out and they take a subdivision. And they pass out the tracts, the kids and the women and the men stand up in the street, they divide up the streets and everybody. At the same time, this whole subdivision is hearing the gospel. They do that for a week, every year. That's glorious. Amen. Then I have to look at myself. I was saved as a very young boy. And I've had times in my life, mainly when I'm in Mexico, that in Mexico during this time, that I felt like I was really in where God wanted me. I felt like I was blessed of the Lord, even empowered. How else can you explain some farmer that can't hardly speak English without stuttering, and he's down trying to do it in Spanish, with very limited knowledge of the Scripture in reality, and people get saved? That's the power of God working. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? But then the second question, how do you see it now? How do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? I would like to know that my Christian life is a steady incline, but it's not. It's up and down. I praise the Lord for the ups. And I struggle through the downs. You know, we have some problems in our churches in Mexico. We've got some pastors that are, I doubt their sincerity for the good of the church at this time. I doubt my own sincerity. That's why the Lord's dealing with me. I'd like to retire. I see a Brother Norman. I saw Brother Dale West. He wouldn't have thought of thinking about retirement. Never. I do. Once when faithfulness was never a question is now a possibility. Maybe I'm not going to be so faithful. Maybe never faithful, simple, always faithful, always there, can depend on, and then you miss a time or two. There's times in León when it wasn't seeing a soul saved, it was a family. Saving souls by families. It was marvelous. This church has seen it. But his Brother Lindell mentioned it the last couple of days in the morning. It's kind of a dry spell. 4 or 5 people saved in the year instead of 50. What's the comparison that we have today? Mission work.
responsibilities that God has given us for our mission work become second place. And of course, then we start to make excuses. Look at Haggai 1:2. Another question. Oh, this isn't a question. It's just another statement. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time is not come. You start making excuses. Well, that was in another time. Those great blessings, the power of God, and was when I was younger, is when everything was fresher, and we make our excuses. I'm convinced that most Christian works, most works of God, are about two generations and they're done. Just look at history. All the great works turn into denominations and religion and customs, and the power of God is out of it. And I've been my concern for the last couple of years that this work in Mexico, this church, my own ministry, be done in a generation or two. And we have excuses. We try to rationalize it. You says, this people say. Well, God didn't say that it was over. God didn't say it was done. It says, the people say, the time has not come. Look at verse 4. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and the house of the Lord lay in waste? We begin to think that we've done our part. We went far enough. We've had these glorious times. Now it's time for me to take care of myself. It's time for me to seal up in my house. And the Lord sees His house in waste. And we can say that things are moving along fine and doing fine, but compare what you have now in your personal life, which is in your church and in your ministry, to what you once had. He's not asking you to go back to Moses and the parting of the Red Sea. He's not saying compare what you have to the day of Pentecost when Peter stood in 5,000. He says, what you once had is what you have today anywhere compared to what you used to have? There's a time that I felt I had power with God. I don't have to look at all these men of the faith in the Bible, I can look at my own experience. And this church can look at its own experiences. The next verses, I think, will take this illusion that God will use us once and then our job is done. If you look at verse 5 in chapter 2, according to the word that I coveted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. It's a promise. The Spirit of God is still among us. His Spirit and His power is still at our hand. We can still be that same empowered, glorious house. It's still ours to have. Verse 6, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, the earth, and the sea, and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with the glory, saith the Lord of hosts. He's speaking to the remnant. You read it back in verse 12, I believe, the remnant of those that saw the first house. Saying, you can see it again. And I will build the house. Look what it says in verse 9. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. We have a promise that God is willing to build this second house greater than the former. We have had a glorious time. We've seen the power of God work. And He wants to work again.
Amen.
And He's willing to use the same remnant. You and I. I get the thought sometimes that, well, I've done my due and I'm finished. God wants to take the same ones that were used by Him to do it again.
Amen.
We can get discouraged and complain and, well, it's, and bring up our excuses and the thing isn't going to ever happen, but God says it can.
Amen.
He's going to shake it.
That's right.
What I know about God, according to what all these things in the Scripture, when the man drops out, he'll find someone else. We may be wasting away the opportunity of the second great movement that God wants to do.
Amen.
In our personal lives, in our ministries, and in the church.
Amen.
He says, I will shake this earth, and I'll shake the heavens. And I'm, and He's telling it to the very ones that saw the first house.
Amen.
I'm asking the Lord to give me a new vision for a second house.
Amen.
And Lord, I want to be used again. Shake me again.
Yes.
It's going to cost me. And I say that with trembling this tonight. Because I got plans. I got things I want to do. But I look back in my life and there wasn't a better time, a happier time, a more content time than the time when God was using me.
Yes,
and can you imagine to use me to build a bigger house, a better house, a greater house? Be part of another movement when more people are saved, when we see the power of God and it cannot be denied?
Amen.
We're not talking about building another religion. We're not talking about another denomination. We're talking about the power of God touching men and women's lives so they obey His Word.
Amen.
Verse 112, in the middle of it says, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord, their God.
Amen.
I'm thinking these are old-timers that climbed up on the mountain and cut down the wood, that went back to work. The ones that were part of the first house said, I'll be part of the second one. I don't look forward to climbing up on the mountain and cut wood and dragging it down. My knees are sore. My, to build a house greater than the first? We can do that through the Lord's help. And He's promised us that His Spirit remains with us and that He will shake the heavens, He will shake the earth, the sea, the dry land, all nations, and the desire of all nations will come to us. That means Poland. That means Turkey. That means these places that the world said it's a closed door. It's not closed to God. It's not closed to God.
Amen.
And I would just ask you to consider these questions. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now?